Good evening. I'm glad to have another opportunity to speak, and it's good to see everyone this evening. We're going to continue our study of David. We remember the passage from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where he tells us, if there is any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. And certainly the life of David is a very virtuous life, one that we can study, be encouraged by, just as we were looking at some examples this morning from showing how Christ and Paul are examples. We also learn a great deal from the example that we have in David in the Old Testament. And the Lord wants us to consider the many aspects of David's life. He gives us a lot of material to look at concerning David. We've seen early on how David was faithful in everything with his family and the things that he did early on. We have seen already how he loved good and defended the truth against the reproaches of those that were speaking against God and God's people. And we've seen the strength and the courage of David. In this lesson, we want to look kind of just after his defeat of Goliath, and we want to see how his example caused Israel to take courage, and how David now is starting to become a leader of that nation. And in the process of doing that, how he is behaving himself very wisely. So we want to see in particular how David was very wise in his youth in this lesson. Now to quickly review, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 45, we see there where David killed Goliath. We saw there in verse 45 where David came to Goliath. He said, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And we studied in that last lesson how David was very concerned about this challenge that Goliath had given, and how he was defying, how he was reproaching God and his people. And David was not willing to just sit back and hear those evil things spoken of against the Lord. And so he took courage and was willing to go up against Goliath because he had that trust in God's promises. And so he went to Goliath. We saw how David pointed the things out to Goliath, that there is a God in heaven, as he said there in verse 46. There is a God in Israel. And that through Goliath's defeat, that all the earth was going to know that. In verse 47, he told Goliath, he says, "The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And so we see the great trust that David had in the Lord, in his promises, and he was right there speaking to that 10-foot man, telling him that he was going to be defeated that day by the Lord. And we saw in verse 48 how David actually ran toward Goliath as he was approaching him. It says there he hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So David, again, showed his great, great trust in knowing that the Lord would give him that victory. Now in verse 51, we see there that as soon as this happened, as soon as Goliath was defeated, in verse 51, there it says, "David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." So here is literally one man of their army that is defeated, and yet they took to heart, they heard the things that David pointed out, that this indeed was the battle that the Lord was going to fight, and they got the message that there is a God in Israel, and that one champion of theirs that was defeated caused them to flee. Now we'll pick up here in verse 52, and we'll see that we have the opposite effect with the armies of Israel. In verse 52, it says, "The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And when David saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, "Whose son art thou, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." So we see here we have the opposite effect with the men of Israel. They shouted now and pursued the Philistines and defeated the armies of the Philistines. And now we see David returning and making himself known to Saul that he was the one that was there that Saul inquired of, who was leading that charge, that army. But we remember what we had read in our last lesson on David, where the army of Saul, that they were very afraid of the challenge that Goliath had presented. Back in chapter 17, just to refresh our memories there in verse 10, when Goliath was presenting this challenge, it says, "The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So now we ask the question, well, what has changed here? There's been literally, from one day to the next, the only difference was that they lost one man out of their army on the side of the Philistines. But yet we have a complete change in the view and the willingness of the army of the Israelites to pursue these armies. And we understand here how David was providing that example that they needed to take courage and to do the things that the Lord wanted them to do. We understand here how David was very much one who was walking by faith and not by sight, and versus the ones in the rest of the ones in the army of Israel who very much were walking by sight. They were seeing that challenge being presented by Goliath. They were threatened. They saw the physical challenge that he presented and knew that their lives were at risk here, that they would be killed. It's very similar in nature to the concern that the spies had when they were sent out into the land of Canaan, and how 10 of those spies saw those great walled cities and the giants and the challenges that were presented then. And they went back and they brought this evil report. And so we see here that in this time, that Saul and his armies were also walking by sight. They were seeing these things despite knowing what the promises of God were and not having their faith in those promises. And, of course, David was different here. And so David provided that example of faith that they needed to take courage. And we need to be encouraged by that as well. We've got David. We have many good examples from the Scriptures. We talked about some this morning again, and we need to take courage at those examples of faith and recognize that we need to be walking by faith. And we're all facing different kinds of challenges in our lives, and we need to remember what are the Lord's promises and what does the Lord want us to do in all of our situations day to day. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, he tells us here, and certainly David is one of those that he's referring to, but here he says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And certainly David is one of those examples of one who led by his faith and by his patience, his endurance. It took quite a bit of endurance to deal with these situations that he was going through, even when he was very young. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, here it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." We know that the Lord does put those over us who have rule here, and what does he say to do? He says, consider their faith and follow in those steps of faith. And so we need to consider these steps of faith that David is showing us through here, through the Word of God here. We know that the Lord anointed David because of his faith and his love and his desire to do what was right. And that desire to do what was right was what made David a very good leader and example to the ones around here. Just as the Lord had used in some of our past studies, we studied the life of Joseph and how the Lord used the many situations in Joseph's early life to prepare him for what was coming, for being able to rule over Egypt. We're seeing here how the Lord is using these things as he's preparing David to take over the throne from Saul. And so here in this passage that we're looking at, we're seeing that this is the beginning point where David is now coming out to lead the people. He's becoming more and more known across Israel as he's leading these battles and going out before the people. We're reminded of other leaders that the Lord used at different times for Israel. In Numbers chapter 27, in verse 15, we can see here the time where he chose Joshua, who was going to come after Moses to lead the people. And we notice here some of the qualities that the Lord was looking at as he chose Joshua. And we see some parallels to David. Numbers 27, beginning in verse 15. It says, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight." So we see here that the Lord specifically chose Joshua to lead the people, as it says here, to lead them out and to bring them in, to be the one that would be over them so that they would not be as ones who had no shepherd. Of course, we remember the great courage and the great faith that Joshua and Caleb had as they were willing to trust in the Lord's promises and do the things that the Lord told them to do despite all of the challenges that they had. But we also notice here that it points out something about Joshua. In particular, it says he is a man in whom is the Spirit. Talks a little bit more about that particular spirit in Deuteronomy 34 in verse 9. It says there, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." We see here that one of the aspects of Joshua as the Lord chose him to lead Israel is that he had this spirit of wisdom. Another point about Joshua we can find in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 12. Here it's pointing out again how Caleb and Joshua were different than the others. It says, "Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." So here's another aspect of Joshua that we're also going to see pointed out to us about David, that Joshua, whom the Lord chose to lead, he says he was one who wholly followed the Lord. And we see that several times in the scriptures about David as well, that he was one who was wholly following after the Lord. Psalm 119 and verse 10, and of course it doesn't tell us definitely that this is David writing this psalm, but it's really hard for me not to see how this doesn't apply to David and wasn't David. But here in verse 10, it says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments." So we see here that he says, "With my whole heart I have sought you." We understand that David was seeking with his whole heart. The Lord gave that testimony that he was seeking with his whole heart to do what? Well, he was seeking after God's own heart was the testimony that we read earlier concerning David before he was ever chosen to be the king by the Lord. And so we see here he was seeking the Lord. And what's one of the things that's going to happen when we are seeking the Lord with our whole heart? Well, of course, we're going to be studying and seeking and searching his word. And as we do that, What's going to happen? Well, we're going to be growing in wisdom, and that's one of the things that we're going to see is pointed out to here in this early passage of David as he begins to go out and lead the people. This is something that is specifically pointed out about David, how that he behaved himself very wisely. But we understand as we seek the Lord and as we search out his word, that word is going to cause us to grow in wisdom. And we see that happening here with David. We noted just a minute ago in the passage we read about Joshua, how that was something that was noted about Joshua, that he had a particular aspect of wisdom there. And so now we're going to see what the Lord says about David. But before we do that, let's look in Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 3, concerning wisdom, some particular aspects of wisdom that we're also going to run across several times in the scriptures. Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 3, it says here, this Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. In particular, we'll see these particular qualities about wisdom and the instruction of wisdom. We'll note these things together in several passages that we read in the scriptures. But he points out, how do we grow in wisdom? How are we instructed in wisdom? Well, he says there's these three areas here that make up this instruction of wisdom. And he mentions justice. And that is the word that is most often translated as righteousness. It's literally the right. What is right? So justice and judgment. Judgment is literally a verdict. So it involves us using judgment in all the situations that we're presented with. And then the last thing he mentions there is equity. And that's literally evenness. And we think about, well, how are we supposed to apply judgment? Are we supposed to apply judgment one way to one person and a different way to a different person? Well, we understand that the Lord wants us to be very even in how we judge things, and that we're judging according to his words, and we're judging righteous judgment. But it notes there then that those three things are ways that we are instructed in wisdom. And as we learn of David and learn more about David, we're going to see that David was one who had this type of wisdom that involved justice and judgment and equity. In Proverbs 8 and verse 16, another thing that the Lord points out about wisdom is that it is an aspect of those who rule. In verse 16, it says, by me, and this is wisdom speaking here in this chapter, it says, by me, princes rule, and nobles, and all the judges of the earth. And so this wisdom is something that is characteristic, and it's something that is very, very important in the Lord's eyes. And it's something that we, even at a very early age, need to be seeking, the wisdom that we find from God. So now we're going to see, as David begins to become known to the people, that the Lord is going to point out that this is something in particular that David had, even at this early point in his life. 1 Samuel 18, we'll go back to this now. 1 Samuel 18, we'll read verses 1 through 9. We notice in verse 1 here, just kind of as a side note, but notice what it says here about Jonathan. It says, it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So remember, Saul was querying, who is this person that has led these armies and done these things? And David was made known to him. And so after that, David and Jonathan begin to speak. And it says here in verse 1 that the soul of David and Jonathan, it was knit. They were knit. It says Jonathan loved David as his own soul. So just kind of as a side note here, this also teaches us some things about Jonathan. In Psalm 119, verse 63, one of the things it says there is, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. And so here, what do we understand then when Jonathan speaks with David, and it comes to the point where it says the soul of Jonathan and David were knit together. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Well, we've been talking about the faith and the trust and the goodness that David was seeking, how he was seeking after God's own heart. What does this tell us about Jonathan when Jonathan was one that loved David as his own soul? Well, just as it says there in Psalm 119, he was wanting to be a companion to those that fear God and those that keep his precepts. And it's a reminder to all of us to discern and to recognize the ones that truly do fear God, the ones that are seeking God, and to want to be associated and to be companions with them as opposed to someone else. But we go on now, and we'll pick up in verse 5. And it says here, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, but and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day forward. So we see here now that in verse 5, as it points out, that David recognized the authority that Saul had. And of course, we're going to, Lord willing, see this much more in later lessons, where he recognized the authority that Saul had as the king. And even though he himself had been anointed as king, he recognized that the Lord was going to take care of bringing him to power, and that in the meantime, that he needed to recognize that authority. And so when Saul put him over the armies and had him lead, as it says here in verse 5, Saul set him over the men of war. Well, how did David respond when he was given that great responsibility? Well, it says he behaved himself wisely, and it says he was accepted in the sight of all the people, in the sight of Saul's servants. So David was very careful, and he was very wise in the way that he handled this. And that word wise there is literally a word that means circumspect. And we said, well, what does circumspect mean? Well, it's a compound word. Circum means a circle or a round, and spect has to do with viewing or seeing. And so we recognize that, you know, David was considering seeing all of these things and responding to these things in a very wise manner. He was very considerate of these things. And we're not going to have time in this lesson to get into some of the details of what that means exactly. But Lord willing, in a part two of this lesson, we'll get into more of the how specifically was David circumspect, and what were the particular things that made up that particular type of wisdom. But we see here that as David is being given this charge, this authority over these armies, that he is behaving himself very wisely, and he is growing in favor with all of the people, including Saul's own servants. And we also see another thing that is developing is that jealousy from Saul. We see here where the ones that, as they see David coming in from the battles, they're ascribing these tens of thousands of ones who were defeated by David, and as Saul said, but they're only ascribing thousands to me. So he was jealous of that fact that they were seeing David's success and not viewing him as highly as they viewed David. And of course, we know that Saul was very much at this point, unfortunately, about the praise of men and wanting to receive that honor from men. And so this was something that bothered Saul very much. And so it says there in verse 9 that he eyed David from that day forward. Now, the other thing we're going to recognize is, well, as David was being very circumspect, he also recognized that what was happening here was Saul. And he recognized that Saul was after him. And he, again, behaved himself wisely. He was considerate of who he was dealing with here, and knowing that while he was gaining great favor with many of the people, he also understood at the same time that was causing Saul to become his enemy more and more. And we should be circumspect in that manner as well. We should be considering all of the things that are going on in the various situations in our lives, and we should be considerate of the different things that are happening, and understanding and judging wisely based on what we know from the Scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We recently studied about Job in Brother John's class, and we were seeing there how Satan came before the presence of the Lord, and the Lord asked Satan where he had been, and what was his answer? Well, he said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And of course, that's very much associated with what we read in the New Testament here in 1 Peter chapter 5, where he points out that the devil is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is out there looking to destroy those who are seeking to do the Lord's will. And certainly David was one that the devil would have been very much after to try to bring down. And so while David is growing in favor with the people and with Saul's servants, at the same time, the devil is raising up an enemy to David that's going to be very much after him. And we see this in the process of happening now. Now, if we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18, we pick up in verse 10, and we see more about what the Lord says concerning David. Here it says, it came to pass, in verse 10, it said, it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now, at this point, do we, with it pointing out that David was being very wise, very circumspect in how he was dealing with all of these things, do we think that David was just oblivious to the fact that what Saul might have been thinking at this point? Well, we'll see that David was ready for what was going to come. In verse 11, it says, Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. So we see here that it makes it very clear the Lord was with David. And the Lord, of course, it was not certainly not David's time to go here. And he was able to avoid himself out of the presence of Saul from being struck with the javelin that he cast. Saul recognized this as well, and he recognized that the Lord was with David, and he also understood that the Lord was no longer with himself. And it points out again here in verse 14 that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. So he continued to be very wise, very circumspect about this time and about how he was dealing with all these situations. And he continued to grow in this favor with all Israel, as it says there in verse 16. Now we know that the Lord is looking for those who are going to serve him. And we ask the question, well, why was the Lord with David and not with Saul? Well, we understand that, well, it was because David was seeking the Lord. We understand that the Lord points this out many times in the Scriptures. For example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, it says there that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. So yes, the Lord sees those who are walking in his ways and seeking him. There is a particular encouraging passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 that helps us to understand that the Lord is searching the hearts and how he responds to what he sees in the hearts. And we need to be encouraged by this ourselves to do what his will is. Here in verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Now he was speaking this to Asa concerning the foolishness that Asa had in relying on the Syrian army to defeat his enemies rather than relying on the Lord as he had done before. But the Lord points out a manner in which the Lord works here. He says his eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth. And what is he doing? Well, it says he's going to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And so we need to recognize that this time, what was the Lord seeing in David's heart? Well, he was seeing one who was very faithful, one who was seeking him with all of his heart. In Psalm 9 and verse 1, David says there, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart." In Psalm 119, again in verse 34, he says, "Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." And so we need to have in mind, how are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to serve him with the whole heart? And if we do, what is going to happen? What do we know? How is the Lord working? Well, what did we see there in 2 Chronicles? The Lord is going to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And so I hope we all will consider this example, this great example that we have in David, as he was seeking the Lord with all of his heart. We're seeing here now how the Lord is showing himself strong on behalf of David. And the Lord will do the same for us if we all will be seeking him with all of our hearts.